Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Here is your host, live from Sharp Bass's Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Bass's Gallery today. Yes, you know I'm Ann Eller. And yes, I have the pleasure of sitting right here across the table from Dwight Long. You know Dwight, he's the one with the hat running all over Uptown Greenwood, taking care of the flowers and just doing a wonderful job. He's also a master gardener. He's also a water gardener. Let's see, what else, Dwight? Did I leave anything out?
I can kill plants very easily.
And a plant killer. There you go. And he can bring them back to life.
No. That's it. Once they're done, I can do a good job of it.
Well, it sure is good to have you here. It's been a while since we've sat down and talked.
Right. Well, it's nice to be here, and a lot's happened since we talked last.
Absolutely. The city is definitely blooming right now.
That's good. Yes. That's good, and I'm happy they're blooming.
Yes, and of course, all those toperaries are all over Uptown Greenwood. And, of course, one of the people, well, probably the primary person that is responsible for making sure these look good, Dwight, it seems to be on your shoulders, even though it's after hours and working hard all the time to make them look good.
Well, there's a lot that goes into them.
And people probably don't realize how much work. No, you just throw a few plants in there and they start growing, right?
No. Well, that's what everybody thinks.
Exactly.
That's not really what happens.
Sure. And, of course, one of the things this year, you were just telling me that, you gave a haircut to the elephant
to
yesterday?
The elephant. That's correct. Yesterday.
And a blow dry?
That's right. I finished it up, but there was a lot of debris on it, and I took the blower, and we gave it a blow dry. I gave it a haircut and a blow dry.
How much did that cost the elephant?
quite a bit. He's trimmed.
He's trimmed.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they just look so nice. And, of course, people are coming from all over to look at them. And, of course, I'm sure you've seen this morning I drove through Uptown Greenwood and saw people already out walking around. It was beautiful this morning, 74, 75 degrees. Had to be a great morning to be out there.
It is. This morning was really, really nice, but then I was working on the irrigation, so I was constantly wet, which is a good thing on a day like today and in this time of year.
Absolutely. So, but, you know, and one of the things, of course, you do like is water gardening, and, of course, up there by the theater, that little permanent water garden effect mm-hmm. there, and then, of course, where the baby elephant is there, that water garden. You know, it was, 2 weeks ago now, I think you were just putting the finishing touches on Uptown when I blew through.
That's right.
And I saw it, and I was just so impressed with the little water garden with the baby elephant. It had beautiful pink water lilies in there and just looked terrific.
Mm-hmm. That particular, the one at the Federal Building is not capable of handling or supporting plant life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to do with this water garden, was to put some plants in it, live plants, and who knows, we may put some piranha in it one day.
Well, that would protect the plants, maybe.
That's right. It'll protect something.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people may not even realize is it is so much work to do that and to get all the plants blooming at all the same time. But sometimes people just... they think those plants are there to pick, don't they?
They sure do. We've seen some bouquets go down the sidewalk from time to time, but
so
yeah.
We need to talk about plant etiquette.
Well, I guess what I'm going to have to do is put some duct tape down and keep the plants from walking away.
Because the plants just have the tendency to do it on their own.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is.
Sure. But you sure would like it if people would not pick the daisies.
That's good. Right.
And let them be beautiful all during the season. Well, now, one of the things that I know has to be an issue would be, how do you keep the plants from getting heat stressed with all the heat that we've already had, and it's not even summer yet.
Right. Well, it is right now with the temperatures the way they are. We're in a drought, and it's very difficult in the clay soil to find that balance. And uh, I'm I'm not 100% on all the plants. You're going to lose some plants.
Mm-hmm.
But in a clay soil, the clay is going to hold the water, but it just doesn't want to give it back to the plant.
Sure.
So you've got to be careful that you don't put too much water on it and then kill them from that, which they will die from too much water. And then you've got to give them enough to survive. You're not actually, when you're watering plants, you're not watering plants, you're watering the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to keep the right amount of water in the soil so that you've got optimum growth of the plants that are growing in it.
Well, I have pots out there, and I notice at the end of the day they're like all wilted over, and then you go out there and you put some water on them and they just bounce back.
That's right. Every plant has two wilting points. There's a temporary wilting point, which they will come back.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the permanent wilting point, and that's when you just throw all those plants away and put some new ones in.
Is there a good time to water? I mean, you know, a lot of people say early in the morning. Sometimes we see places that are watering late at night. Is there a better time to water than other times?
Typically, you just want to water, let's say, beginning 11 p.m., 12 p.m., that would be good to water. Our early morning watering on the containers would be good. That way they'll get through the stress of the day instead of having to sit through just a little bit of water, because they do need that water. Potted plants and hanging baskets need the water every day.
Hanging baskets have always been a challenge for me just because they dry out so quick. How do you keep them from drying out?
They have some material now that you can mix in with the soil, and some of the potting soils, they offer the moisture control. They might give you an extra half day,
mm-hmm.
is what I have found. But in this heat and in the, you need to water the hanging baskets every day. And I would do it first thing in the morning, not in the afternoon, not after they've already wilted.
Right.
So many wilts, and then the plant just says, well, I'm tired of wilting, so I'm just going to disappear, and it will.
They really think along that line?
Oh, is that good?
that's very interesting. But those are some of the things that we want to talk about here today on the show, how to do the right thing here. And, of course, as a master gardener, he is going to give us a little information about an upcoming program. The new Master Gardener program will be coming up. We also will be talking about the Master Gardener of the Year. So when we come back after hearing a word from our sponsors, we're going to talk about all these issues. Hey, Jeff's online over there if you want to give him a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
You can't be wrong, rocking and rolling.
The classic never goes out of style. The classic can be worn every day. What classic am I speaking of today? Diamond earrings, of course. Classic studs. At Sharp Facets Gallery, our diamond earrings are the best, from quarter carats to over 4 carats in rounds, and of course, princess, pear, or emerald cuts. Best selection, best price, best quality. Buy a pair of diamond earrings today and watch your eyes light up. Sharp Facets Gallery, 72 Bypass Greenwood.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Ann Eller, and our special guest today is Dwight Long, the Master Gardener. Here is your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here with Dwight Long. He is the City of Greenwood horticulturist here. That's a fancy title for someone that grows plants and keeps everything looking good in uptown Greenwood. And you got to say this, you know, you, Billy Allen, all of you do work tirelessly to make things look good in Uptown Greenwood. We should always be proud of what we see there, and it's because of the work that, number one, that the city puts the emphasis on.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. and also the dedication that you have to doing good things, like coming up with the idea instead of buying plants every season, coming up with growing them. How did that work out?
Well, it did great. I was able to purchase. We didn't buy any plants this year, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I grew the plants from seed. I did the germination of the seeds, and then we potted them up, and we grew about 1,600 plants, and that is...
That's phenomenal.
I'd say it is, yeah.
And, of course, didn't Park Seed donate the seeds?
Park Seed donated seeds for the fall.
Right. Oh, okay.
And so we're getting ready. Well, pretty soon here, maybe mid-July, we're going to have to start the growing process, germination, and so forth to get those.
Where do you grow them?
We grow them in the shop.
In the shop?
Yeah, we grow them under lights. We've got some fluorescent lights. These are T5 lights. They're 50 watts each. And so it's pretty bright in there when the lights are on. And the plants, they seem to do well.
Wow. Now, of course, so you're constantly growing, I guess, and replacing it out there. I mean, that's one of the things I would presume that... you know, even when you get a plant outside and it looks like it's doing good, like you said, when they die, they die. So you also have to have a backup stock, I would presume, that you're constantly replacing from.
Well, unfortunately, no.
No?
When we put everything out here, that's pretty much it. I mean, we put out the 1,600 plants, and of those 1,600, probably I've lost maybe 5 or 6, so that's not too bad.
God, you must have magic.
We've got good soil.
Good soil.
And proper watering.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps it. You water too much, you kill a plant. You don't water enough, you kill the plant. And this time of year is really, really tough on anything. It's tough on the trees. There's some stress on the trees right now. It's just stress on anything.
Well, you know, not only that, you are responsible, I guess, for the trees and the shrubs and the plants and all of this. That's got to keep you busy all the time.
It does. There's always something to do, and the irrigation is also part of what I do, and we're running around today doing checking the irrigation, which you should do on a regular basis, and replace the nozzles or the heads that we need to replace to keep everything, and we adjust the watering, too.
Now, as a master gardener, you know what? A lot of people you just see people just turn on the irrigation system. They let all this water run, and pretty soon you're seeing lots of water running down on the street. Are they doing themselves a favor, particularly because water costs more right now?
Oh, it does. I guess that when it runs on the street, we want some. We want to grow the sidewalks, and we do want to grow the asphalt and so forth. But it doesn't happen. Let me give you an example of how much water, say over an acre of land, you want, let's say a four-person family per week uses approximately 4,000 gallons of water. That's four people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 1 inch of water per week on your plants and on your lawns and everything is 27,000 gallons of water.
Wow.
A week. So that's a big difference. And so if you're paying X number of dollars per gallon of water,
sure.
Then when you start irrigating and you're running it every day,
right.
It doesn't take long to really jack up that
price.
Your bill. Your bill is going to be huge.
So how should you do it?
I mean, it's okay to put an irrigation system
sure.
in.
Sure. Well, I mean, well, that helps. Absolutely.
But you don't want to run it every day. Now, we've got an issue downtown where we're on top of old railroad ballast, so we have rocks right up underneath the surface, so we're having to water a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, around your house, or in some of your beds, in fact, you can do drip irrigation. Drip irrigation doesn't require a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy, very inexpensive. You can, if you've got a well, most wells are around the pumps around 4 to 5 gallons a minute. You really need a lot more if you wanted some spray irrigation. So, but around the house, you can do
is drip irrigation.
Drip
better?
Irrigation.
Do you think that's better because it doesn't spray as much water, shall we say?
Well, it's better for the plant because you're not wetting the leaves, and when you keep the leaves wet on a plant, you're going to have fungus and so forth, and that's not good for the plant. But and also with drip irrigation, it's going to go into the ground a lot slower. It's at a slower rate, so you can turn it on a lot longer, and you won't use
as much water.
That's correct. But now you can't do it in a lawn situation. I mean,
can't
if you've got to
drip a few drips on it.
Right. What you want? Right. With let's say in my yard, what I do is just grow weeds. That's it. Weeds will grow in anything. Yeah.
Weeds? Yeah, I don't
course.
Believe that now. I bet you have a beautiful yard.
Oh, no.
No?
We don't want to say where I live.
Well, that's because you work all the time in the city, right? So
that's
therefore
right.
You don't have time to work on yours.
Yeah.
Or it's like the plumber's house. You know, they always used to say the plumber's house never had good plumbing in it, but the
everybody
else says he did a great job.
That's right. Well, when I get through at the end of the day, it's a little bit tough when you go home and sit down. It's tough to get back up off the couch. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but one of the things you do have that you are very proud of, though, at home is your water garden.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You've had fish in there for years.
I started the water gardening in, I think it was 87, maybe 88. Uh-huh. And there's one fish that I've had since 1990. And what is it right now?
It's 2011.
Oh, is that what year it is? It just goes by so quick.
It does.
But yeah, it's over 20 years that I've had that fish, and he's gone through some issues and moved them from Greenville down to here. And but yeah, they get used to you.
Yeah,
and
does your fish, he knows you.
Oh, they all know me right now. And now what? Let me say this in the heat.
Yes.
There's one thing that people do a lot of in the heat, or let's say when the water temperature gets up let's say above 90 degrees, there's not any oxygen in the water. There's
right.
a lot less oxygen. So you don't feed your fish every day. I probably feed mine about every other day or every third day, and I do that through the summer.
And what does that do for them?
Well, there's less bacteria that is going to be in the water. The bacteria need anything that is alive needs oxygen, so
sure.
The bacteria during the day will take the oxygen out of the water. And when you're low on oxygen anyway, when it's hot, then you don't want to put any stress on the fish. So that's what you're going to be doing. And the fish, they don't need to be eating that much anyway.
Do you feed them? You don't feed them in the winter, do you?
No. This year, I stopped feeding them when the temperature of the water got down to like 55.
Yeah.
And until it got back above, consistently above 55, I didn't feed them. There was probably 4 months that I didn't feed them.
Now, how big and how deep is your water garden?
Mine, it's not that big. It's probably 1,500 gallons. It's 17 feet long and about 7 or 8 feet wide at its
sure.
widest point, and it's 2 feet deep.
2 feet. I mean, isn't that another problem that, you know, the deeper it is, it is better for the fish, isn't it, so that they can get away from the heat? Or is that not necessarily true?
Well, it's not necessarily true. The thing you're doing with the deep pond is in the wintertime, they're able to go a little bit deeper and where the water's warmer
mm-hmm.
and stay warmer. A koi pond really should be in the 3 to 4 foot deep range. Mine's 2 feet, but they seem to be okay. Actually, in the wintertime...
Do they complain at all? Do they say anything?
No, they don't.
can't you get out here, Dwight, and dig it a little deeper this year?
Right.
You've been busy.
Every time I go out there, I'm just thinking, man, this thing needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, a water garden is like
It's addicting.
It is. It
yes.
is addicting. And I don't have anything. I don't put chemicals in my water. I don't do anything.
It's crystal. Balanced,
it's
yeah.
crystal clear all year long. But unfortunately, the plants that I put in the first year to make that happen, they're pretty big now, and it's hard to control
over.
control them. And I go out there all the time and pull up just tons and tons of stuff. But the fish like them. The
yeah.
fish will eat it.
Yeah.
And so they've got something to eat. And a lot of people will say, well, I just don't want this algae in my pond. Well, the hair algae, if you will, the stuff that grows on the side of the pond, leave it in there. The fish will love it. And that's why a goldfish, if you put it in the pond, is going to have a deeper, richer color because it's eating the algae in the
for
pond.
Real? Wow.
For real, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Hmm. So what would be the one piece of advice if somebody is going to do a pond or a water garden that you would say is one of the most important things to remember?
Don't put a lot of fish in it. And that's what people like to do. They'll want to go out and buy 300 fish to make it look right. I buy a little, maybe a 2-inch goldfish.
See if it survives.
I put two of them in a few years ago, and I didn't see them for days. I didn't know if the pump had sucked them up or whatever. I didn't know where they were.
Right.
But eventually they got bigger and they got accustomed to me being around. And so, but I think the biggest thing is they just put too many fish in the pond, and the filter system is not going to be able to handle that kind of a fish load.
Yeah, because so they create fish poop.
They do, and then you've got you have bacteria that's got to break that down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then those bacteria require oxygen. And in the summertime, you're low on it anyway, and there's not much you can really do. You can only put so much oxygen in there. So fewer fish, healthier fish. And
Let them grow.
And they will grow. They will grow extremely large.
Hey, that's great. Hey, we are here talking to Dwight Long. News is up, South Carolina News. We'll be back. Give us a call, 229-7984.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Here is your host, live from Chuck Bass's Gallery, Ann Eller.
Over the low part of the yard. That low part of the yard could very easily take those types of plants, like cannas and botanicals.
And you are on the air.
Oh, I know. I love it.
And, the first time I put any out, it just took over the backyard, and I just wasn't ready.
Okay, well, there you go. We're on the air. I guess I didn't hear that cue. Sorry about that, folks. We were just talking about cannas and drip irrigation and bogs, bog gardening. Now, that's something I didn't know about.
Yeah, basically dig a hole in the ground, put you a liner in it, cut a hole in the liner so the water can get out of it, and then fill it back up with some soil.
Right.
And put some plants that like water.
Wow.
And then you can have a bog garden. And those plants get very, very large.
Yeah.
And they're pretty easy to do.
Well, I know one of the things we were just talking about, my cannas on the side there, we have changed how the water used to drip out of the air conditioner from up above, and they used to just get that drip water, and they grew like crazy, and now they've changed how the water comes out of the air conditioner upstairs, and we don't have that water over there, and it's really made a difference.
And that's an example of where just a small amount of water coming out all constantly, keeping the soil at the right moisture content so the plants will do well.
Absolutely.
And if they don't get water, they don't get big.
Yes, we've seen that. Now, well, let's see. Let's talk a little bit about master gardening. Of course, that's something that you're very active in. And, of course, there has been an announcement of the Master Gardener of the Year. And who is the Master Gardener of the Year?
And that would be Catherine Swindell. And the prerequisites to become one is basically you're going above and beyond. And you're working with all of the projects. You're working many hours.
It takes a lot of hours to become a master gardener, doesn't it, though, too?
Well, it does, but at the initial stage, you're looking, the first year is 40 hours,
mm-hmm.
and then after that, it's 20 hours a year. Now, some of the master gardeners put in quite a few,
mm-hmm.
and me being one of them. But there are a lot of other master gardeners that put in a tremendous number of hours, and it's all volunteer. We're giving back to the community.
You've done some great projects. I remember when you did when the Railroad Museum cleaned that out. I mean, that was so overgrown, and what you guys did was absolutely fabulous.
Right. We do that every year. That's an ongoing project, and we have some others that we do every year. We've got a container class that we do in the early spring, and it's free for the, I believe it's free.
I think it was. I remember talking about it on the radio.
And that's pretty bad when I'm supposed to know about that, right? Sorry.
Well, that's okay.
But, it was free to the community, and it was a huge success. In fact, I think this year we did two container gardening. And that's a different type of gardening
than it would be.
It's a different soil makeup. It's more of an inorganic soil, or potting soil, say.
But anyways, one of the things that we did, so congratulations to Catherine Swindell. How did she get to be the Master Gardener of the Year? How does that happen?
Well,
if I wanted to become the Master Gardener of the Year, what would I have to do?
You need to do just about anything and everything that that you can.
Okay.
And she's always involved in the project. She's always involved in the Master Gardener program.
Mm-hmm.
And she has done great. This past year, she worked on the committee where we would bring in people to come in and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a great job last year, and bringing in some people that was really great. And some of these talks we do we open it up to the public.
Sure.
And it's always good.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the thing about it is, I mean, people bring in different people that, you know, not everybody can know everybody. You know, that's the wonderful thing about it, is bringing in new people
right.
and letting them tell you about things that they're involved in.
That's right. And we don't know everything there is to know about gardening either.
You don't?
No.
I thought you were master gardeners.
Oh, that just means that we went through a training session. I think it's like 40 or 60 hours, and that we're going to have another class starting up in August the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the people want to get in on the list,
yes.
Just give Clemson Extension office a call. And put your name down.
That's right. And that number to call is 223-3264. That'll be starting August the 2nd. Now, they usually do this in the evening, don't they?
That's correct. It's I believe it's on a Tuesday evening, and it runs for 16 weeks or 20 weeks. I forget all of the...
And I've heard about how much fun you guys have doing stuff, and people bring little treats and just have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the food. I was...
the food. We always got to talk about the food.
Right. I couldn't do much because I'm not a good cook.
Okay.
And so I always had to just watch what everybody else... And I sampled it.
Yes.
A lot.
Well,
in some
good.
Cases, yeah. But you had something new every week. And
what do you learn in that class? You learn a lot of different things.
Everything. There... you learn a lot of basics, soils, botany, insect, pest management, how to...
Trimming?
Pruning.
Yeah, there you go.
And pruning is almost an art in itself, and knowing when to prune and what to prune. You can really massacre a tree
if you don't do it.
Well, we all have.
But still it lives on.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you weed eat all the way around it and take the bark off the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll kill it real quick.
Now, I have heard that a lot of people with their riding lawnmowers and everything that zip around trees and everything, that's one of the most disastrous things for the trees and the shrubbery, shall we say.
Well, you don't want to run over it with a lawnmower, that's
right.
for sure. Now, my brother, many years ago, he did run over a tree. My father was getting ready to cut it down. It was a pecan tree, and it wasn't growing any to his satisfaction. And then my brother hit it with a lawnmower, and it did great
after that.
Yeah, I guess it scared him.
Scared
the tree. Said, I'm going to die if I don't grow here.
Yeah, but a lot of the weed eaters and that type of thing, they can be very damaging to the bark of a tree. This is what I was thinking
definitely,
about.
Definitely, yeah. The weed eaters are really dangerous. I mean, you go and weed eat around a tree, I could take you to where there's some trees that we've gotten a little bit too close to, and everybody does, and you interrupt that cambium layer, which is right up underneath the bark. You take that, and you're basically killing the tree because there's no way to get the... water up
into the tree. Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Well, we are here. We are talking about everything that has to do with master gardening. There's a new class that'll be starting August the 2nd. August the 2nd. Give them a call at the Clemson Extension office, 223-3264. Now, they have, of course, now, years ago, they used to be at the mall, and now they have their own place, and I understand they all just love it over there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, what's the address?
Oh, don't ask me what the address
is. Well, it's over there where...
It's at the Old Brewer High School.
There you go.
That's the way I know it. And it's the first office closest to the road there.
But you have a lot more space there and able to do a lot more things.
Yes.
So now at the Clemson Extension Service, if you have questions about your soil or whatnot, you can take it there and they'll test it for you. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that's something we should talk
about.
Sure.
Really, before you put any fertilizer or any chemicals on in the grass, you are on the lawn, you want to get a soils test first. And they can tell you how much to put on there and what to put on there.
Yeah. So and it doesn't, does it cost?
$6.
$6 to get your soil analyzed, and then you won't waste a lot of money putting the wrong stuff on there.
And killing it. Yeah. And they'll tell you when to apply it, and that's good.
You know, at the Clemson Extension Service, it is such a valuable service, but sometimes I think it's not the first place that you always think of to have somebody check out and help you with some of these things.
Well, people just don't know.
Right.
And that's true. And I would go to the Clemson Extension office and question those folk before I would do, go down to some of these other garden centers where I've heard people give the wrong information out to them, and I've wanted to go over there and just say, no, that's not right. But I have to hold back. Now, a lot of them have some really excellent, we've got master gardeners in some of the garden centers. And
But it's a service that's right here for us, and you can give them a call anytime, 223-3264. If you want to be able to go and talk to them, if you want to know about pruning or what's the right thing to do, or if you've got something you don't know what it is, take it by there and show it to them and see what they say.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, we always get to see some of that stuff that come in. And bring more than one leaf.
More than one leaf?
Right. If you've got a problem with a plant, it's best to bring sometimes the entire plant
If
you can. If it's in the ground, at least get a large portion of it. If you don't know what it is, get a lot more than one leaf, because it's hard to identify a plant with just one leaf on it.
And three shiny leaves is usually poison ivy. I mean, you know, if you don't know what that one is, you got a problem, folks. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We'll be right back. We're here with Dwight Long, the City of Greenwood horticulturist, a master gardener, and passionate about plants, water gardening, and everything that goes along with it. Don't you go away. We'll be right back. And if you'd like to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Lou Dobbs, Mr. Independent.
Wow. Ann Ellard, I love your show. The I Love Ann Show, which airs from 8 to 10 a.m. each weekday on WLMA Radio in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, we have a good time. It's a real positive, upbeat show.
I love it.
Well, then, you will just have to keep listening to the I Love Ann Show weekdays on WLMA 1350 AM or WLMA.net.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Ellard. Our special guest today is Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Here's your host, live from Sharp Patrick's Gallery, Ann Ellard.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, if you've got gold, if you've got diamonds, if you've got sterling silver, if you've got coins, bars, any of that kind of stuff, we're buying right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So come see us today right here. We'll be here all day long till 6 o'clock. And you know where we're located, between Bank of America and Burger King. So come see us today. You'll be glad you did. Well, this is one of the big weekends of the Festival of Flowers. Of course, next weekend is the really big weekend. And, of course, Dwight's been working hard on these topiaries, Uptown Greenwood. You know, people love to hang out all around Uptown, whether it's early or late in the evening. And one gal, Betty Knowles, said last year she used to see him, and she said the girls, late every night of the festival, and she misses talking to you in the evenings while you worked.
That's right. That kind of gives you an idea of how much extra time it is. But we want to make sure that everything looks its best.
Absolutely. And, of course, a lot of time and a lot of effort goes into the topiary. So, you know, with this heat, you better get out and see them, you know, because, you know, it's going to be tough for them to I mean, they will, but it's going to be tough for them to be looking good all the way through the end just because of the heat and the growth factor and all this other stuff.
It is. Water, like I said earlier, water is extremely important. And this time of year, they get water every day. The irrigation runs on them every day, but sometimes things break. And
yeah.
I found that out this morning, in fact, where some tubing came out of one of the topiaries, and I had to put that back in real quick. Otherwise, and it wasn't getting water like it was supposed to through the day. So
wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that is another thing a lot of people don't realize is that they all are irrigated.
That's right.
I mean, the first year, I don't think they were.
No. We had lots of issues the first year and just trying to get the topiaries out. But we've got every one of them irrigated now, and sometimes they don't want to cooperate, but that's okay. We'll go in and fix it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I have to say that I think the city as a whole does an excellent, excellent, excellent job of taking care of and making it look beautiful up there. I mean, whether it's the topiaries there or not, but any time of the year you go uptown, it's number one, it's always clean. You know,
mm-hmm.
always clean. Whenever there's an event up there, this is one of the things I always like to say about the city, that the guys are up there cleaning everything up. When we do the parade, after the parade is gone and I'm waiting to find out who won, the guys are out there cleaning it up, and it just looks terrific. So that's our big kudos to our city employees that work so hard, CPW, taking care of everything. And not only do you have the festival going on, but then you follow that right up with the Festival of Discovery and the Blues Cruise.
Well, we thank you. There's a lot of people that are involved in it, and everybody does a great job.
Yeah, and it's a very well coordinated job, and I think they made a very smart move, Dwight, when they hired you on as the City of Greenwood horticulturist.
Well, I can kill them just like anybody else.
But you can also make them grow, Dwight.
Yeah, that's the goal,
yeah.
Is to make them grow big.
Yeah, so that's excellent. You know, we've talked about some of the things. You know, of course, summer heat is a problem for all areas of the country, and no different here. Of course, how are we doing on water this year, do you think, as far as rainwater, storms, this type of thing?
Well, anything right now that comes down is pretty much runoff.
Yeah.
The rain is not going to stay around long enough for it to really soak in the ground. Let's say that
we get
a thunder shower. It might be good. The rain and water might get in maybe 1 inch into the soil,
mm-hmm.
if that. And that's not really deep enough to make the roots go deep. You want to make the roots go deep so that they're more drought tolerant.
Sure.
And to do that, you've got to stretch them a little bit, but if you water them every day, the roots are going to be shallow, and when you miss a water, then
they can't survive.
They
right.
have some difficulties, yes. And
yeah.
and the watering, and I come in every morning, and I see in some areas water is running every day on them, same time, and probably a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the terrestrial plants are not water plants. The roots need oxygen to grow, and if you have water in the soil to where it's saturated, then there's no oxygen for the roots, and the roots will just eventually give up, and the plant will topple over.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people don't realize you can actually overwater a plant.
Exactly, and you can get fungus on the roots, root rot, I'm sure, and crown rot, so the plant just won't make it once you've got that, and it's gone.
Well, I know one of the things that people have really gotten interested in is vegetable gardening, you
uh-huh.
know, and we have so much great fresh produce right now. But any tips on things that people should be doing if they're doing, like, container vegetable gardening or small vegetable gardens in the backyard?
Well, if it's in a container, as I said earlier, you want to water every day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless or check the water. Let's just say this. Check the soil before you water. Putting too much on it is just as bad or worse than not enough.
Ask the plant if it's thirsty.
That's right.
Yeah.
The plant will tell you if it's if the leaves are curling a little bit, hey, you might have a little bit of a water issue.
Right.
But you also could have a root rot issue,
mm-hmm.
and that's not good.
Right.
So it can't take the nutrients up, can't take the water. So
I think one of the other things that people, you know, it's getting the right type of plants for the area that you're in. I mean, some plants love the sun and just want all the sun, and then, of course, you've got those that can't stand much sun, so they need to be in the shade. And to me, that's always a challenge to figure out exactly when they're saying shady, what is shady or part sun. There you go. There's a good one, part sun.
Part sun, to me, would say it's going to be dappled shade. Okay,
so it's going to be shade.
Dappled shade, maybe a little bit more shade than it would get sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's going to be part sun, I would give it morning sun, but afternoon shade.
And what's the difference between part sun and part shade?
Well, part shade is going to be more sun than shade. So,
you know, those are those questions that you try to figure out when you see these.
That's
right.
Well, when you go and purchase a plant, you need to talk to the people there to find out if this plant is going to work in the area where you're going to put it, where you're going to plant it. And around your house, you're going to have on the southern side of the house or the west side of the house is going to be warmer than it would be on the other side. The northern part of the house is going to be a little bit shadier.
Sure.
So you've got to get the plants right, and you don't want to mix your plants as far as plant water requirements go. You don't want to put a plant that requires a lot of water
mm-hmm.
with one that doesn't like it. Let's say a cactus and a canna. Canna likes a lot of water. Cactus doesn't like that much water, so don't put them together.
Because you're going to kill both that way.
You're going to kill one of them.
Yeah, one of them.
One of
sure,
them's going to go, And first thing that people do when they see their plant wilting is they go, and let's go put water on it. And
may not be the issue.
It may not be the issue. And that's where Clemson Extension could help out in that respect.
Absolutely. You need to give them a call. If you've got any questions about your plants or your soil, what kind of soil do you have? You know, we all think we know what kind of soil. How many people say, oh, I know it's alkaline or I know it's this. But if you take it in and have it analyzed, you'll be so much better off.
That's right.
That's right. You know, coming up August the 2nd, the 2011 Master Gardener Training Class, it's always at night. I believe we think it's maybe Tuesday night, but it starts August the 2nd. And one of the things we didn't mention, that there even are some scholarships available to take the class. So give them a call. If this is something you've always wanted to do, I highly recommend it. Lots of people have enjoyed the class. And, well, Dwight, you're a product of the Master Gardener class.
That's right.
Look where you've gone.
I get to teach the class on how to kill plants.
You're really into this killing thing.
Oh, man, this time of the year, I'm just on that. I don't know why. I guess I've lost a few plants, and that's where I'm thinking, and I'm trying to keep them.
You're trying to save them. Yeah. Okay, you've got them on life support?
That's it. I got a little tube going to them. Say, here, drip.
Drip. Dwight, always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much for coming out,
yes,
and thanks
ma'am.
For all you do
Good
for the city.
Good to be here, Ann. Thank you.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.